You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Broadcasting from a galaxy far, far away, it's the Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that covers everything in the universe. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
I'm Cody.
We have a great show for y'all. Thank you for tuning in. We have some news to get through, but first let's talk about some things we've been checking out. I can go.
Go for it.
Awesome. All right. Well, I can't talk about the Pokemon Sun and Moon. Tried talking about it last week, but...
I've still yet to finish it.
You've yet to finish it. And yeah, spoilers. I can't talk about spoilers. I have continued to play it, though, and I did get through all the post-game content, and that's pretty interesting stuff.
Is it better than X and Y?
Yes.
Yeah, X and Y's post-game was garbage.
Yeah, no, this one's pretty good. It's light, but it's interesting. And you see a lot of returning characters.
Cool.
Like, it's a lot of the post-game is very much world-building outside of this region. Like, they like, full-on mention, like, a wider Pokemon world outside of
cool
Sun and Moon. It's very cool. You get the return of a couple of the island captains, as well as Looker comes back.
Oh, cool. Does he still look kind of like David Tennant?
He looks very much like David Tennant, and at points he speaks French.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a character that I don't recognize, but I think it's from a game that I didn't play. There was one where it was like the battle, like Frontier or something. It was like a psychic trainer with blue hair, blue-grayish hair.
I don't remember.
But she pops up in this, like, just as, like, it's Looker's boss, basically. And that's pretty cool. After you get through that, and there have been a couple other like mini fetch quests. Like, I was showing you guys pictures of the one for the Eevee finding.
The depressing one.
This game is super depressing. Like, a lot of it has to do with growing old and dying. Lot of it. And a lot of the dialogue is just kind of real downer stuff. It's crazy. But once you get through all that stuff, you basically just have training and catching them all and stuff like that. And that's where I'm at. And I've kind of slowed down on it a little bit because of that. But I don't know. I'm still playing it. Still having fun with it. The other thing I did was I went down to Studio 35 for Bad Movie Night last Friday.
Like you do.
Like you do. Like I do just about every month. They played. It was a rerun. It was a Christmas show. They did as a movie called. What was it called?
Shadow Chaser.
And it was not very good.
It wasn't good the time I saw it.
No, but it was great in that it was not very good, if that makes any sense.
Did they make any different cuts from the one that you and I saw?
No, it was the same. They just threw the same one in. And that's fine, because it was very funny. But it was a lot of... God. The movie's like Die Hard, except the main bad guy is also Terminator.
With really, really white hair.
He looks like Dolph Lundgren from Rocky IV.
I thought he kind of looked more like the one actor who... He's a bad guy in like everything. He was in Star Trek Generations, and he was the bad guy in Tank Girl.
Malcolm McDowell?
Yes.
Well, if Malcolm McDowell was like roided out.
Well, yeah.
Like obviously. Super roided out. And he moved. He fought like Jean-Claude Van Damme. This movie was just a mixed mess of nothing. But it was really enjoyable. A lot of really good clips. It was a really good crowd, as usual.
Yeah,
so,
it usually is. It's always a rowdy, fun crowd.
Oh, yeah. So it was that was a good time. That's all I have. I've been working nonstop, so.
Yeah, it's been finals week for me, so I've been, you know, busting my butt with that.
Yeah.
Let's see. The new Shantae, when they kickstarted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That finally, they gave me the code for that. It's released for people who backed it on Kickstarter, which I did.
Cool.
I made the tough choice between backing Mighty No. 9 or Shantae back in
you
the day.
You made the right decision, yeah. My friend. Oh, man.
Because this game right is actually really good.
Yeah, unlike Mighty No. 9.
Which is garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a platformer. It's broken into stages, which is different than the other Shantaes, which were kind of more Metroidvania-y.
Yeah.
This still retains a lot of that get a power, go back to an area, like, style gameplay, but it's broken up into stages, and you can pick between them on a map screen.
Okay, that's cool.
The animation is all really good. Everything looks really good.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's just nice to see a Kickstarter pay off with something really good.
That is nice for a change.
Yeah. Other than that, I've still been plugging away at Final Fantasy 15, and it's, I mean, it's still Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, the Carboys.
Yeah. I really don't think I've done anything else.
Been kind of a light week.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah.
I saw a really awful movie.
Hey, I'm in. Let's hear it.
Sausage Party.
Oh no,
thank you.
So it is bad?
Oh, God. It's not like bad as in like it's bad. It's bad as in like, oh, man, it gets messed up.
Well, I'm sure, because they're not people. They can do whatever they want with them.
Oh, you see the things they do to people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They kill at least one guy.
The food?
Yeah.
Jeez.
They decapitate a dude.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so the movie's been out forever, so I don't really worry about
it. Spoil it. No one should watch this movie because it's bad, so let's go. Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right, so honestly, like, the trailer is virtually nothing compared to the rest of the movie.
That's what I kind of expected.
Like, the segment where the ladies, like, in the kitchen, like, dismembering all the food and whatnot, mm-hmm. It's like 2 seconds.
Okay. Should we take a second and tell what the main thrust of the plot of Sausage?
Oh, God. That's really loose, but plot. So, Sausage Party is an animated film from Seth Rogen and, you know, all his friends.
Yeah.
Michael Cera does a voice.
Just all of those.
James Franco does a voice. I mean, all kinds of people.
Of course James Franco does a voice.
Though, to be fair, I did not realize it was James Franco.
Really?
Until the credits.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was his evil twin, Frank James, though. It was a character he did on Colbert.
Oh, it was, right?
Yeah.
I do remember
that.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, and it's about food in a supermarket.
And it starts off looking like a kid's movie.
Yeah, it does start off looking like a kid's movie. And until you start picking up all the really, really, really bad racial stereotype overtones of certain things. Like potatoes are Irish and, you know.
Okay.
It's not a joke.
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, it would take you 2 seconds.
It's easy.
To go, yeah, it's way too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and food think when people buy you at the store, you're being taken to the great beyond. Some kind of nirvana where food and gods live together.
Kind of like the little alien guys in Toy Story 1.
Sorta.
The Claw.
But the claw. But way darker.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. And like, so they're all like waiting to get picked or whatever. And a jar of honey mustard gets bought.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets returned. And it comes back all like messed up.
Okay.
Like ranting and raving how everything's, you know, a joke, everything's bullcrap, you know, hello darkness, my old friend.
What kind of racist stereotype is the honey mustard?
He's not.
Okay.
Okay.
There are very few foods that were actually like racial stereotypes. Oh. There was, there's a bottle of liquor named Firewater.
Was he Native American?
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yep. there is an Arabic flatbread. I can't remember.
Oh, God.
There's a Jewish bagel.
Of course.
Yeah.
Salma Hayek voices a lesbian taco.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Who's in love with the main bun girl.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going with the plot.
that will eventually, like, so Frank, voiced by Seth Rogen and one of the wieners in the package, and his bun lady, Beatrice, I think is what her name is. I can't remember.
It's Kristen Wiig, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get purchased together, and they're all excited about going to the great beyond and blah, blah, blah. And so is the honey mustard jar, and the honey mustard jar commits suicide. He jumps out of the cart and breaks.
Ah.
And so everyone's freaking out. All bunch of stuff falls. And so Frank and Beatrice get somehow dislodged from their packaging. Oh, it was trying to save honey mustard from jumping out of the cart. Anyway, they get left in the store, and everyone else has to go out.
Okay.
And the movie like flashes back and forth between what's going on with Michael Cera's little mini wiener guy. Can't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie's so bad. It's so terrible.
The food screams when they get eaten. That's the point. That's the point I was trying to get to is that food gets bought. people eat it, the food feel, and they scream and yell and curse and everything.
And that's the joke.
And that's the joke.
Movie.
Yeah. And at one point...
Seth Rogen makes $1 million.
Yeah. Oh, and there's... Oh, God. There's just so many bad... Oh, the main villain of the movie is James Franco's character, who is literally a douche.
Like an actual...
Yeah.
Like medical product.
Yeah.
Cleaning product.
So we can say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The guy they kill is a stoner who you see buying bath salts from some street pusher, and when he takes the bath salts, he can see the food for what they really are.
So the food actually talk to him and stuff.
Yes, yes.
It's like Seth Rogen and whatever his writing partner guy is, like, farted this out in a weekend as a joke, and somehow it got made into a movie.
That's kind of, yeah.
Pretty much.
It made for a good trailer, or maybe it would have made a good short. I can't see a movie being made around it.
No.
Oh, man. There's a segment of the movie toward the end that gets real bad.
Mm. Is it too bad for radio bad?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, at one point, all the food take these bath salt infused toothpicks and stab all the humans in the supermarket with them so they can see them. And they like go like full like savage.
It sounds like it's written by a 14-year-old.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
So a 14-year-old trapped in
But he's made good movies before. Like,
has he?
I like Superbad.
Yeah, Superbad.
Have you watched it recently?
No.
It's been a while.
Yeah. try watching it again.
I like 40-year-old Virgin.
Did he write that one though?
I'm not sure.
I think he was just in that one.
Mm.
Maybe they aren't good.
I always remember the fact that him and James Franco and all them were all in Freaks and Geeks together.
Yeah, yeah. I did like Green Hornet. I mean, he didn't write it. He wrote some of the jokes.
I never saw it.
He punched up the script. It got a bad rap. It got a bad rap because I think a lot of people went into it thinking, Seth Rogen going to make some jokes or whatever. And it was a legitimate, like, action. They tried to make an actual, like, superhero action movie.
Mm.
But it was decent enough.
Okay.
And for Green Hornet, that's good. Yeah. Decent enough.
What do you expect out of Green Hornet?
For most people who don't really know who the Green Hornet is.
Yeah.
And there's no Bruce Lee isn't in it because he's dead.
He is, yes. Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jet Li Kano?
No, not Jet Li. It was some...
Kato. Kano's Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Oh, right.
One, Kato, and two, no, it was some like pop star from Asia.
Oh, okay.
That did like a lot of kung fu or whatever.
At least it was an Asian guy.
They did, yeah. That's true.
They're not Ghost in the Shelling this one up. I've actually watched the original movie a while ago, and I've watched a lot of Standalone Complex since then.
Mm-hmm.
It is good stuff. Ghost in the Shell is good.
Oh yeah, Ghost in the Shell is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm stoked about the movie. I was before, but the more I think about it, the more I'm okay with the Major not being Asian because I don't think she's meant to be.
She's a robot. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be non-gender. It's just happened to be that because it was an anime show.
Her ethnicity is whatever the people who built the robot wanted it to be. I think it's supposed to be indeterminate. Like, if you looked at her, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Right.
Because she's not an actual person. She was built.
Well, if that was the case, I would almost wish that this live-action movie would have put a little bit of prosthetic on Scarlett Johansson to make her hit that uncanny valley kind of mark, where it looks almost human, but there's just something not quite there. But then again, I don't think anyone could sit through a 2-hour movie of watching someone who looks almost like stomach churningly almost human, but just not quite there.
And that kind of goes against the universe that it's based in, where you can't tell the difference between who is a robot and who isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
For some point. Yeah.
Yeah. To a point.
Yeah.
It's not like full on Blade Runner, but
yeah.
Or Armitage III, which was another cyberpunk anime. Kind of weird.
Anime.
Yeah.
I saw Armitage, but it was so long ago, I don't remember it. Same with the way Ghost in the Shell was before I watched it again.
I'm guessing they're robots?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There's robots that are called third types or whatever, and you can't tell that they're robots, but somebody's going around killing them.
So someone can tell.
Well, yeah.
That they're robots. And then the whole show's premise is off.
Well, it's a. Well, it was like a mini. It was like an OVA. A little mini series kind of thing.
No, I know what OVAs are.
Okay, I was about to say it's original video animation.
No, I know what that is.
It's straight to video.
Yeah,
I like it. I own it.
I watched The Year Without a Santa Claus last night. The Christmas creep hacked into my Netflix account and replaced all of the shows with A Year Without Santa Claus. So,
oh man,
you know, I had to watch it.
Oh, what a jerk that guy.
It's not very good.
No.
It really isn't.
Is it a live action or is it a
it's the one with the heat miser and the snow miser.
That was what I was gonna say, yeah. But there's a live action version and a
really? This, yeah. I watched the stop motion one. I didn't know there was a live action
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the live action one, I remember it because it was a made for TV because and I remember it because Michael McKean was heat miser and Harvey Fierstein was snow miser.
I missed a snow miser.
It sound like Ed or Bev Bighead.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed.
You sounded a little bit Australian in there too.
G'day.
Yeah.
All right.
But the songs are all bad.
Yeah.
The only good song is the Heat Miser Snow Miser song, which is fantastic.
What's the only one anyone remembers?
Yeah. All the rest of them are garbage.
Yeah.
Blue Christmas is horrible. Mm-hmm. There's one about everybody should believe in Santa Claus. That's just, it's a turd.
I was at work and they were playing the old Rudolph special.
Oh, nice.
With the elf who wants to be a dentist and the Island of Misfit Toys or
that's
whatever.
That's always been my favorite, my preferred one of the two.
Yeah. I feel like that one's probably way better than the Santa Claus.
Yeah, sure.
And then they did, and then they also had the Frosty special too.
I don't care for Frosty.
You don't care for Frosty?
No.
I like Frosties.
I like I like original Frosty. The any movie like that comes out after, like The Return of Frosty the Snowman. That one had a rap in it. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. There was an animated Return of Frosty the Snowman. I live tweeted it last year because I found it on TV at work and was like, this is too weird. And yeah, it was Brian Doyle Murray rapping about how much he loves money. It's awful. It's awful.
That's what I'm being too hard on Frosty. It's not that. I like Frosty. It's just I hate this song because I have to hear it constantly.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, I guess I did watch a Christmas movie, too. Christmas Creep, you know, he's been bunking here, unfortunately. but no, I watched Batman Returns.
Sometimes I forget that's a Christmas
movie. It is a Christmas movie. Yeah. It holds up. It's definitely the one where Tim Burton kind of went off the rails on the Batman, the Gothic, a little bit. Because the first Batman movie, yeah, it had the Tim Burton style, but it was just enough to make it kind of work. This one kind of goes up to 11, and it just...
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it falls apart.
Batman kills two people right there in that opening.
He does straight up kill people, yeah.
There's a bomb, and then he catches one on fire.
Uh-huh.
God.
And they... I like Danny DeVito's performance as the Penguin, but there are points where they made it almost too grotesque.
Yes.
For the character, anyway.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Walk around in his soiled onesie.
Oh, wah. God.
Wah. And he bites that dude's nose.
Yeah, that was rough.
His teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But
his teeth.
And I still maintained that the actual villain was Max Schreck, Christopher Walken. He was the real villain of that movie. Because he's the one that wound the Penguin up. He's the one that tried to kill Selina Kyle, which turned her into Catwoman. Like, he is the real bad guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't feel bad for his character when he gets his kermuffins
at
the end.
Not one iota.
The real bad guy of Batman Returns is Shrek.
Yeah. Donkey.
Should have stayed out of the swamp.
He should have. That's right.
Batman always going into swamps where he doesn't belong.
It actually reminds me of a really good comic I read. It was a two-parter where it was Batman going after... Killer Croc broke out of Arkham, and he had to travel... He's been tracking him and tracks him to the outlying swamps around Gotham City.
Yeah.
And finds that Killer Croc had gone completely feral and was kind of at peace. And at one point, it's Batman versus Swamp Thing.
Oh,
who
yeah,
is protecting the green.
Yeah.
Yeah, protecting Killer Croc, who has become basically just a living, just an animal.
Part of the green. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of, it's a really good, and it's drawn with, it was when they had the artist with Batman with a giant, like, huge
ears,
like the
ears.
Super stylized. It was, it's really cool. It's all, it's a two-parter. It's
okay.
Really good. I don't usually buy Batman comics, but I do own that two-parter. It's really, really good.
Yeah, that same swamp.
Doing
is,
Swamp Thing's involved.
Yeah, Swamp Thing's great.
That's the same swamp that birthed Solomon Grundy.
That's right. Yep.
Swamp Thing was like the best thing to come out of the New 52.
It was really good. Yeah.
That Swamp Thing was great.
It kind of destroyed a lot of what Alan Moore set up with the previous Vertigo book, but that book was also about 15 years old. So it was time to, and they needed to do something to kind of bring the character back into the fold. So, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill is voicing Swamp Thing in Justice League Action.
And that's excellent. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that show.
Yeah, that comes out on Friday on Cartoon Network. The new Justice League Action cartoon looks really good.
Oh, man. I really hope it picks up and doesn't get, like, pooped on like Young Justice did.
Yeah. I love anything that injects fun back into these characters.
It's
like what it's going to do. It looks like Batman Brave and the Bold mixed with the Justice League cartoon.
These characters need fun because the movies certainly aren't bringing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they try to, it doesn't come out right.
Like when there was jokes in Batman v Superman and it's just like, what? Huh? What? Did you try to bring levity into this? I'm just confused.
Yeah.
Did you say something? Because it wasn't that movie. Ooh. So I'm just about caught up on all of the Venture Brothers.
Oh, cool. You are? Okay, we talked about this a little last week, but yeah.
I'm in season 6.
Oh, really? Okay, you're further than I am. That's awesome.
You got a couple seasons on me.
They make a homage to the Green Hornet.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. Turns out the Monarch's dad was a superhero vigilante called the Blue Morpho.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is a species of butterfly.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
And he was friends with Dr. Venture's dad.
Yeah, they hinted at that a lot when the Monarch found that picture of him hanging out with
Baby Rusty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it turns out that Monarch's dad and Kano, the big Asian mute guy that always ran around with the other Venture crew.
Mm-hmm. And this time his name is Kano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're superhero vigilantes.
Oh, that's cool.
That did also make a cameo in the Rusty Venture Boy Adventure cartoon.
Nice.
Okay, that's really cool. Because where I'm at in the series, Monarch didn't know his parents. He just thought they died in a car crash or something, or a plane crash.
Yeah, it was a plane crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I forget where they actually say that he gets like his inheritance or whatever. Because it's really weird.
I'm
like,
sure it is.
No, well, not even that. Just the fact that you sit there and Monarch, you know, talked about how he was raised by butterflies or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden in season 6, they're moving into his old rundown family home.
Okay, yeah. Well, I remember his origin was he was raised by butterflies for like an afternoon or something. Yeah. Then went home and got his family's inheritance. And that's just how it went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't recommend that show enough if you haven't seen The Venture Brothers.
Oh, I know. And I love the fact that that Dean and Hank aren't quite as goofy anymore.
That's good.
Yeah, because they're grown up.
Yeah.
Time passes in The Venture Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're grown up. They realize they're clones.
Oh, that's good.
Because that was like Dean goes through this huge like emo like angsty phase after he finds out they're clones. And he sits there and holds it in for like a whole summer or whatever. But yeah, I love Venture Brothers so much.
It's whip smart. It's great parody. It's great writing. Like,
yeah. Have we ever said what it's actually, it originally was parodying?
I don't think we have, but it is originally parodying Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they eventually get the okay to actually add in Johnny Quest characters.
Action Johnny.
Yeah.
His name is Action Johnny. Yeah.
They wouldn't let him call him Johnny Quest, but they would let him put him in the show.
Yeah.
Hey, they also had Race Bannon and actually say Race Bannon.
They did say Race Bannon. That's
true.
That was before Action Johnny, though. It's because Warner Brothers wants to do a Johnny Quest movie someday.
And then what was Johnny's site or little buddy?
Haji.
Haji shows up, too.
Okay, yeah, Haji.
Yeah, he works like in a call center or something.
Oh, that's sad. Man,
that is pretty sad.
But he like manages it.
Oh, that's good at least.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's owned by the Venture Estate or whatever.
By probably Jonas.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Or Jonas Jr.
Well, that's what I meant. Jonas Venture Jr.
Yeah. JJ.
His giant head on his little body. Hey, big brother.
God. I've kept up on Yuri on Ice, but I don't want to talk about that without Samantha here.
Yeah, we could skip out on that. Yeah. That's fine. I think we've pretty well hit time, so let's go ahead and take a break. And you know, I haven't seen the old creep around here, so let's I think we might be able to get away with playing some like regular music for once.
Oh, thank God. I've been sick to death of the Christmas carols he's been making us play lately.
I know, I don't get I'm here. I've been down in the basement watching my jingle jammies. What's going on? Did someone say Christmas music? It's me, the Christmas creep, everyone's favorite.
No.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hey, we're back. That was a song from the Star Wars Christmas special since, you know, Rogue One this week.
Yes, I'm on theme.
Thanks, Christmas Creep.
No problem. I have to go finish my laundry. By the way, Sam, you're out of laundry detergent. Why, Christmas Creep? Why are you doing this? I'm inconsiderate. Yeah.
Get out of here, Creep.
All right. Okay, so we have some news to go through, and during the break, the iOS Nintendo game Mario Run, Super Mario Run, was released.
And we all, like, broke away into it and then sat here in silence.
For about a half hour. Yeah, we sat here for about a half hour playing that dumb game. And
I wouldn't say silence. I mean, there was, like, Mario sounds.
There was a lot of Mario sounds. Yeah, we all turned our volume on. It was just a myriad of Mario noises.
Toad screams.
Yeah. But no, it's fun.
I like it. Yeah, it's very much a Mario game that you play by tapping a screen.
Yeah. It takes the left and right movement out of it, so it's just press to jump, and that's it.
And you'd think it would feel limiting, but I don't think it does.
Not so much.
I think it's an interesting concept that it works.
Yeah.
It's more like Super Mario Parkour than it is.
A little bit, yeah. Some of the auto jump features are kind of dumb, but I can see why they wouldn't, like, they would put that in so you don't get stuck behind something.
Yeah.
So if you're not watching your game, you don't just get, like, pushed to the edge of the screen and done.
I like how he grabs ledges, too. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And the Toad Rally mode where you go up against other players and their recorded runs of levels.
I can see that being a big thing.
Yeah. And they rate you based on, like, your style as well as your skills. Like,
yeah, so you
got to
do
cool
some
jumps.
Yeah, you got to do some sweet flips.
Yeah.
So, which is something Mario's known for, sweet flips and parkour.
Woo! Yeah.
Kind of, I suppose.
Kind of, yeah.
He's known for jumping.
Yeah, he's a jumping man.
He is jump man.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's funny that they made a Mario running game that's more fun than the Sonic one is.
I agree. Yeah, that is kind of fun. That's funny.
Also, it's not a run behind a camera behind your runner guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
It's Mario. It's like Mario. It's not like a Temple Run knockoff or even like Jetpack Joyride. Like, it doesn't feel like those games. It feels like Mario.
Yeah.
Collecting those sweet pink coins.
Yeah. The Kingdom Builder thing, you, between runs, you're rebuilding the Mushroom Kingdom after Bowser wrecked it. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, they really didn't have to put that level of story into the game, but I'm glad they did.
I'll be interested to see where it goes, like what you do with the stuff you build. Like, the only thing I've built is a bonus game house that literally lets you play a bonus game every 8 hours, which is pretty cool.
That's neat enough. Sure.
Why not?
I mean, it's very much a phone game, but with that Nintendo level of polish, and it's cool. I already bought it. I already threw down the $10.
Yeah, I'm to the point. I got to the point where I have to buy it if I want to keep playing it. So I probably will. I don't know.
Yeah, they really only give you the first three levels.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's not bad.
First taste is free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Payday is tomorrow, so I'll probably end up picking it
Everybody always gets one.
Yeah,
$10 seems like a lot for a phone game, but it's a Nintendo phone game.
Yeah, like, and it looks like there's enough in there to warrant $10 worth of entertainment out of it. So
It's got that polish, that Nintendo polish.
Yep.
I recommend it, and I've only played it for a half hour. Yeah. So.
All right, so let's go ahead and get on some other news. Do you want to keep talking about phone game news while
sure,
we're on topic?
We'll go on to the Pokemon Go news.
The other Nintendo-ish.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go had an update for ish. It's like a holiday. It's like a holiday thing that they updated with. They introduced a handful of second gen characters into the game, but it's kind of a weird way that you have to get them. They only pop up when you're hatching eggs.
And they're all babies.
They're all like the tiny, like
Pichu and Togepi and
Magby and Elekid.
Yeah. All these names that people who don't know Pokemon are going to think we're having a stroke sitting here behind the mic. It's kind of a cop out way of introducing some of these characters because it's forcing you to go out and take a random chance.
Walk a lot too.
Yeah,
buy a lot of egg incubators.
Yeah, like, that's kind of crummy.
Yeah,
but the other thing they did was, and this is kind of neat, they added a Pikachu with a Santa Claus hat for the holiday update. I guess that you can catch.
It's festive. It's fun.
It's festive.
For Halloween, they made catching ghost Pokemon easier.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
That was cool.
Because some of those were hard to find. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that Pikachu, the hat's going to stay on him even after the holidays. It's like a permanent rare thing. So
Did more variants like that, that would be cool. I'd be stoked on that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Hey, maybe that's a first step into their shinies or whatever.
Oh, God.
Oh, not shiny.
I don't want to think about that. That's awful. Oh, that is the bane of my existence with these Pokemon. I don't think I've ever caught a shiny Pokemon
game. I've ever seen one.
Never.
I watched a video on how to get shiny starters.
Oh yeah, for whatever reason. I guess it's super easy, but I can't figure it out.
Well, no, you just have to restart the game over and over
like
again for
hours. Like
1,000
times, yeah.
I did not like the shiny Rowlet.
No, I didn't either.
He's like green. He's all green. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not a good one. Shiny Litten's white,
that's
and it's pretty
cool.
That's
kind of rad. Shiny Gengar in X and Y was fantastic.
White. Yeah, it looked like a ghost, like an actual ghost.
But I hope they keep doing stuff like this with Pokemon Go because it's kept me interested, and I had dropped it for a long while beforehand.
Yeah, they're gonna have to continue to do stuff like this because if it falls out of public eye for a second, it's done. You know,
yeah,
well, it kind of did there for a while.
It almost did.
Yeah, and that now we have Starbucks.
Yeah, that is cool too.
Which I think we talked about last week.
Did we? Yeah, I think we did.
But
we
talked
about the leak email.
Right after the show, I went to the Starbucks and I got the Pokemon Go drink.
The raspberry?
It was pretty good.
Yeah. See, I don't like raspberry.
I liked it. And the Pokestop worked.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good, too.
There's ones at Sprint stores, too, I discovered at the mall the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Right on. There's a Sprint store in the mall?
Not the Marion Mall.
Oh, okay. All right. I was wondering there for a second. Nah. I was like,
can we really call that a mall anymore? More like
Marian.
A mausoleum.
Well, that's a completely
mausoleum.
Yeah, a mausoleum. I like that. Yeah.
I don't know.
Instead of an elephant burial ground, it's an old store burial ground.
Where, like, you know, all the doors are shuttered with old standees from the movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the old Hot Topic like outer like the display stuff is still up for
it's
some
like,
reason.
What are they going to do with that?
Yeah.
Another store can't go in there and be like, "This is our Gothic arch." Welcome to Nordstrom's from hell.
Oh, awesome!
You act like Nordstrom would come in there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, let's go ahead and move on to some other news. The big one that was released the other day, they've been teasing for a while that since Suicide Squad was released, Margot Robbie had signed a solo movie deal for her character Harley Quinn. And there'd been a lot of speculation what kind of movie would she just get her own standalone movie, or would she have what kind of supporting cast she would have, that sort of thing. And it was revealed that she's going to be part of a movie based on the comic series, The Gotham City Sirens. If that doesn't sound familiar to you, there's a good reason. It hasn't been around for very long. Gotham City Sirens is a book that featured Harley Quinn, Catwoman, and Poison Ivy doing crimes and
doing
having
crimes.
A good time. And it's...
Was it kind of like sold as like a Sex in the City?
A little bit.
Super
at least
villainous.
Was. It at least had that kind of tone to it. But it was also like Sex in the City meets Ocean's 11. So there were heists, but there were also like
girl talk,
road trips and stuff. I think
there was a Marvel like one like it too, wasn't there, with Marvel ladies?
I forget what it was called. There was A-Force.
Well, not
it's not A-Force, A-Force was, but there was a book that was kind of like that.
Where they were just going for the Sex and the City market, basically, when that was like the hottest thing on the planet.
Yeah, so, but no, it's fun. I liked Gotham City Sirens, the book, when it was out. I thought it was a really smart, really clever. Unfortunately, it's being written and directed by David Ayers, the guy who did Suicide Squad. That's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Also, remember, this is a Warner Brothers property set in the Batman v Superman universe, so it's not going to be good.
It's something that, for all intents and purposes, should be a fun romp.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be awful.
A dour drag.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I don't want to say I'm excited for it. I want to be excited for it.
You're hopeful that they won't screw it up.
Exactly. But
I'm like in a holding pattern for Wonder Woman.
I'm cautiously
optimistic.
That's the one I'm really kind of...
Yeah. If they can do Wonder Woman good, then maybe I'll believe that this movie can be good. Yeah. But
what it would take is for Warner Brothers to step off and not be...
Warner Brothers?
Not meddle so much. But they're not going to do that.
I want a dog on David Ayers, but it really wasn't his fault.
It really wasn't his fault.
Like, he didn't really get to make that movie.
The movie he made was not the movie that he wanted to make. If he is able to make the movie he wants to make here with Gotham City Sirens, it would probably be good. What are the odds that the Joker's going to pop up in this?
I hope not.
Well, I know I hope not too, but what are the odds that he's going to pop up?
They're
probably high.
Yeah, and that's a
shame. Is it going to be Leto, though? Are they going to let him keep doing it? Is he going to want to keep doing it?
I don't think he's going to want to, but if he signed a huge contract, which, you know, he could have, he might get stuck doing it, which means we would have a lackluster, a Joker that doesn't want to be there. And
a Joker that purrs like a cat?
I don't like
a Squidward?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, was that the creep? No. I don't know. There's already been casting rumors about it. Of course, Margot Robbie's going to be Harley Quinn, but there's been rumors that Megan Fox is being shopped around as Poison Ivy. And
yeah.
I mean, it's nice enough to look at, but there's no acting there. Yeah. I'm not a fan of her acting, and I know the caliber of script and movie that would be given to a Megan Fox, and I think that would do these characters a disservice.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I like April O'Neil in the Turtles movies, or the Turtles franchise, I guess, but when given to Megan Fox, you know what you're in for.
Yeah.
And it would be the exact same thing with Poison Ivy. Yeah. So, I don't know.
And I feel like maybe a woman should direct a movie about super villainesses.
I agree, but that's, again, not going to happen.
Sofia Coppola.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
She did that. It was a movie about rich kids stealing from other rich people.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it was called.
It was like loosely based on real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, even when those girls stole from Kim Kardashian?
The Bling Ring.
That's it.
Like, that's in the same kind of, you know, thematically similar.
Yeah. But I just don't know, man. I want it to be good. And it would be neat to see Anne Hathaway come back as Catwoman. I would, in a heartbeat, have her come back as Catwoman. She was probably the best part of Batman Dark Knight Rises. Certainly wasn't Bane.
It should be good. Just like Suicide Squad should have been good.
Yeah.
This should be good.
Like, the acting potential was there outside of Jared Leto, but I mean,
Leto can be good given the right role and the right motivation for it.
He didn't understand the character.
Exactly. That's it. If he had a better handle, I think he could have done a great Joker, but what the script asked of him was not there. Therefore, his performance wasn't there. Like, I can see the Mad Love Joker out of Jared Leto. Get rid of the tattoos. Get rid of the Juggalo bit. Like, actually have him be kind of
teeth.
Crazy and menacing.
Yeah,
I can see it. It's in there. It's just covered in piles of garbage. So,
got to move that garbage away. It's there.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched the How It Should Have Ended for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And at one point, or no, it was a sequel to that one. It was like a little short where the How It Should Have Ended Batman snuck into the villain pub.
Oh.
And he's sitting there punching the Joker in the face so hard, each punch reverts him to a different Joker.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And the other villains were like, well, just stop there. Just stop there. he punches him all the way back to
Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
They even did a Batman Animated Series Joker.
Nice. Nice. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to another one. We can do more DC stuff, and this one's really quick. I don't know how much we can talk about it. They cast the major antagonist for the Aquaman movie. And
I still can't believe they're doing an Aquaman movie.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a fan of Aquaman. I'm not sure if I'm a huge fan of the Aquaman that they're going to be putting on screen. Because he's more like Aqua Barbarian than Aquaman. I like big, dumb, cheesy Aquaman. I think Brave and the Bold Aquaman is the best.
Oh,
Aquaman.
Yeah, the big, absolutely. The one, outrageous.
Yeah, yeah. But no, they cast Patrick Wilson, who he's been on a lot of different things. People like us would probably know him best as Night Owl from The Watchmen, which, surprise, surprise, another Watchmen actor has been added to a Zack Snyder
associated,
yeah, adjacent film project. But no, he'll be playing Ocean Master, Aquaman's brother Orm. Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because you think we would have got, like, I don't know, Black Manta.
I still think we're going to get Black Manta. I hope we get Black Manta.
Better get Black Manta.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Aquaman's big villain.
Actually, Ocean Master, really.
Eh, maybe it's
Black Manta's the more recognizable one because he was in Justice League. Or he was in Super Friends.
And Young Justice.
Well, Super Friends was the one that everyone knows, really.
Mostly everybody knows these characters from Super Friends. So that's, yeah. You know, that's where the mainline, like, man on the street knowledge of these characters comes from.
Yeah, which makes me think maybe we'll see Cheetah in Wonder Woman.
Oh, that'd be rad.
That would be super great. But yeah, it's, you know, Patrick Wilson's a good actor. It's fine. Ocean Master's kind of, he's got to be there because you get into anything with Aquaman and Ocean Master, it becomes almost Shakespearean, like brother versus brother kind of,
yeah,
for the throne sort of situation. But he's kind of a boring character. He's kind of really boring.
I want to be the king of Atlantis.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That is his entire role, is I want to be the king. I wish I could talk to fish. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah. So
those were bubbles.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that casting news. So we have a title for Godzilla, the next American Godzilla movie.
King of the Monsters.
Which makes me think there's going to be a ton of kaiju in this one.
I hope so. I hope they lean heavy into the weird mythos
get Mothra in there.
Get Mothra, Ghidorah. Those tiny ladies.
Yeah.
That sing to Mothra. That would be great.
Rodan.
Yeah. Ghidra.
Yep.
Mechagodzilla?
I would love to see a Mechagodzilla. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it'd be pretty. That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah. I really liked the last American Godzilla movie.
I did too.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah. I liked it.
I mean, the bits that we actually got to see Godzilla-ing was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think they got the feel for Hero Godzilla right.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he really was a Hero Godzilla.
Yeah,
more than
he
anything.
Really was.
Yeah,
which was really surprising because in the previews you didn't quite get that he was going to be Hero Godzilla.
No, yeah. You just thought he was Destroy the City Godzilla.
Yeah, I'm glad they went that direction. Yeah. I didn't expect it.
Yeah,
and it's nice to be surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, I just hope they don't pull in too many more new monsters with the whole Muto thing like they did with the last one.
That's what I'm a little worried about, but we'll see how that goes.
I mean, they got to build us up for Legendary Godzilla versus Legendary King Kong.
That's true. That is a thing that is going to happen sooner or later.
I mean, with that new movie, that Kong of Skull Island that's coming out.
Yeah.
I always thought that was a dumb fight and that Godzilla would just destroy King Kong in 2 seconds. But
well, I think King Kong is stronger, though. I think you have... I'm going to use fighting game terms. Godzilla's more of a zoning character. Like, he has the long range attacks because he has the fire breath and everything. But I think in an up close fight, I think King Kong would like take Godzilla down, him down to Chinatown.
Is Godzilla so radioactive though that if King Kong got close to him, wouldn't it make him real sick?
I don't know if he's outwardly radioactive though. I know his breath is radioactive.
I mean, they've always kind of tracked Godzilla via the radioactive particles.
That's true, but how
I feel like the last Japanese Godzilla, that Godzilla
that Godzilla was like super radio, like give cancer for to the entire world, like
yeah, no one's living in Tokyo anymore.
No,
it's the new Chernobyl.
That is like super, super radioactive. But I don't think like I don't think like a normal human could walk up to Godzilla and touch him and not like melt or whatever. But someone as big as Godzilla, he'd have to have super thick skin because, you know, giant gorilla.
Oh, you mean King Kong?
That's what I meant. King Kong. I think he would be able to withstand the radioactiveness of Godzilla.
Here's the thing with like going back to like the old Godzilla versus King Kong movie, like
they're bad.
Well, it is terrible, but like according to the old Godzilla mythos, electricity makes Godzilla weaker, but it makes King Kong stronger.
Why?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's the way it's always been. That's what they did back in the old 70s Godzilla movies. They were like, anytime he ran into power lines or whatever, he'd be like, oh God, that sucks.
Well, yeah, that would suck. It'd be like getting tased.
Rawr, don't tase me, Kong.
I guess Kong does have the punching power. Godzilla can't punch.
Yeah, he's not gonna be punching with those little tiny baby arms. No way.
No, he's got, you know, that's why he's got that amazing tail slide back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or his ability to fly via his atomic breath.
Oh, that's great.
Like a rocket.
I know it's not the same production company, but I want to see Turtle.
Gamera.
Gamera, that's it.
I always wanted a Gamera Godzilla fight.
Like, that would be
forever.
Great.
Ever.
Yeah. I mean, we're never going to see it because...
No, they're two different studios, yeah. But man.
Gamera was so great.
I love Gamera. Gamera's like my other favorite.
He's friend of all children.
He's the friend of all children. Yeah, I was just about to say.
He's also a UFO turtle.
Yeah.
I really want giant monster movies to make like a big comeback.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get it with... That and Pacific Rim, which we're getting a second one of.
Pacific Rim Uprising.
Which is a boring,
name. It's a dumb title.
Yeah.
And like, what's Uprising?
It's a crossover with Kid Icarus Uprising.
That's it, yeah. It screams a title that they didn't want to call it Pacific Rim 2, but there's nothing in the plot that sticks out enough to give it like a plot relevant name. So they just said, Uprising.
Bloodlines.
Sure. Yeah.
Pacific Rim Bloodlines. Underworld.
I can't believe there's another Underworld movie coming out.
I can't believe Kate Beckinsale's in it.
Yeah.
Could have called it, I don't know. As cheesy as Pacific Rim is, they should have just went like full Sharknado and gave it some ridiculous title.
Yeah.
Like Pacific Rim Full Metal Panic or something. I don't know.
That's just the name of an anime tacked to the end of the
name. Hush. It had giant robots, too.
Pacific Rim 2, Ranma 1/2. Pacific Rim 2, Inuyasha.
I was actually just getting ready to say that one.
Pacific Rim 2, Pacific Rim's Bizarre Adventure.
I like that one.
Yeah,
I hope they fix all the problems the first one had. That's all I want.
Yeah. You know, with Pacific Rim 2, all I want are giant robots punching each other. What I would love to see is a movie where for the first 2/3 of the movie, there's no monsters. You have a world post-monster where they have the technology for giant robots. So you make giant robot fights.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man. So it's like a sport?
Yeah. It's like robot jocks, but good.
I'll bet since it's called Uprising, it's about the past. Like the stuff they alluded to in the beginning of Pacific Rim that was all really cool, but they went over it really fast and they told instead of showed.
Yeah, I guess. But
I mean, John Boyega is going to be the main guy in it, so.
That's true.
That's really good because the main guy in the other one was garbage.
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah. He was just horrible.
He was just a block of wood.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that dude.
Yeah.
In everything he does.
I think I would blame my not liking Pacific Rim 100% on him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Oh, yeah. He's a terrible actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it when he gets attached to projects that I liked.
Yeah, I wanted to like Pacific Rim so much. I came in so stoked and I just couldn't.
Okay, when you're not looking at Charlie Hunnam or listening to him talk, Pacific Rim's a great movie.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, a large amount of the movie is that.
I mean, yeah. The part where he's dragging that ship through Hong Kong and then starts using it as a baseball bat against that kaiju's head. Amazing. Love that part. Ron Perlman. Amazing.
Yeah.
Goofy
for
as
what
hell.
He was in.
I even liked Charlie Day Scientist.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. Science Charlie.
He was Science Charlie. He's like that episode of Always Sunny when he thought he got smart.
Yeah. I like the concept of them having to meld minds to pilot
like
the robots.
Like the two lobes of a brain.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like that.
It just fell apart as a movie in the end, and I hope that it's definitely salvageable. I think the sequel could be really good.
It absolutely is. Oh, it sure is.
Also, yeah. The soundtrack was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to keep with that one thing that was kind of alluded to, leaked, whatever, talked about right after the first Pacific Rim was done, was a kaiju Jaeger cross thing, like some kind of weird...
So a robot monster.
Yeah.
Roman.
It's Roman, the robot monster.
That would be awesome.
That would be great.
No, it'll be a Robies. It's the opening up of the Voltron Greater Cinematic Universe.
It's Roman. There's big bubbles everywhere.
Yeah. I was for a second, I thought the Beast Transformers Beast Machines, where they were robots that were also animals that were also robots
that were on Cybertron.
Yeah.
Oh God, Beast Machines. That's such a bad series. That is definitely a dark time in the Transformers fan mythos.
Yeah. Hey, G1 or get out for me.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
G1 and the Transformers series that came out a couple years ago was really good too.
That CGI one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. I liked it a lot. I sat and watched the whole thing.
I didn't care for it.
I did. I loved it.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Japanese only one? The
Headmasters?
Headmasters.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Transformers Headmasters.
So, man, it's super weird.
It's a weird one. Yeah.
They brought the Headmaster toys back.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's in their current line right now.
Mm-hmm. Some of those toys look really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Although I would never buy them.
No.
Because they don't look like the G1.
Well, there is a Megatron that does.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still wouldn't buy it.
He's a tank.
Yeah, I don't care.
Though,
I don't care.
Tanaka is coming out with a masterpiece Megatron that actually is a gun. It's $250, but it looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't. If I had that kind of money, I would buy that. But there's no way. I'm still keeping an eye out for a deal on that Soundwave.
Oh,
that,
I know,
that
right?
Masterpiece Soundwave. Oh my God, that's a good one.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah, that is a really good one.
But hey, that's been toy talk.
Yeah, we have time for one more news thing. We talked a few weeks ago about the Riverdale, the super weird, serious, maybe murdery Archie Comics live action show for the CW. They cast Molly Ringwald as Archie Andrews' mom, and
that's pretty cool.
I don't know. That's great casting.
Yeah,
it fits.
What is up with this show?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to hate it. You could probably go back to the episodes when they announced it and we probably trashing on it.
Oh, if I had time, I would probably cut that in here, but I'm not going to because I don't have time. But yeah, I want to hate it. I want to hate it.
But they keep doing things that make it sound so good.
Yeah. It's baffling to me. I don't know.
I mean, the trailer looks good. This news, they got Barb from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it just doesn't make
sense.
It
almost looks like a Twin Peaks Lynchian murder mystery via Archie comics, which is amazing.
It's amazing and not something anyone would ever dream of.
Yeah.
So
it's different and weird in ways that you don't expect.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You know, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, I will definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, I usually give... American shows, I usually give 3 episodes. If they don't hook me by the third, then I'm usually done. But yeah, I'm gonna give it the standard 3. Sure, why not?
Way to go, Archie.
Yeah, way to good job, Archie.
Well, we know from past, Afterlife with Archie, putting a weird twist on Archie is good.
It works.
It works.
Or just Life with Archie.
Yeah, Archie versus Predator.
Hey,
yeah.
That comic is great.
That's a great, yeah, that exactly. is a pretty good comic.
Now, yeah. Archie versus Sharknado, that was really bad.
Yeah. Archie meets Kiss. Those were good. That's a good series. The time the Punisher came to Archie, came to Riverdale. Yeah. It was weird, but it's a thing that really did happen. That's a real comic. Have you ever seen the Dan Parent style Punisher?
I have, but I don't remember it because I knew that was the thing.
Yeah. Did you know that? No? Okay.
Archie has changed so much over the 50 billion years he's been around that any twist that you throw on it kind of just kind of works because it's just evolved so much over time.
Archie's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he almost fits. Like, the art style almost fits with this, and it's great.
It's like how they kind of, like, how they Archie'd up the Predator.
Yeah.
It's like, who came up with it? Who's like, hey, you know who should Archie, you know who Archie should meet?
Frank Castle.
Frank Castle, yeah.
Wow.
Was there, like, a drug problem in Riverdale?
Is Maybe, that, it must be.
Is that why he was there?
It's been so long, I can't remember the storyline for it. But yeah, it was a weird one.
Pops was the one that killed my family.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if they had John Bernthal pop up? The Punisher from
Daredevil.
For like one episode of Ridge. Yeah, that would be great.
Oh, man.
Are Josie and the Pussycats in this show?
I hope so.
Yeah, they should be.
They really should be. I agree.
I don't know. I'm still holding out for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
They would be crazy not to put her
They
in
would.
It.
Yeah, they'd have to almost somewhere in there. Even if they don't, if they only allude to her having magic powers, if they don't show it on screen, if they just say, hey, this is Sabrina in the background.
She's a witch.
Or you just always show her like talking to her cat. Like, she's not doing magic, but she's just talking to her cat. So you kind of get the idea that maybe
betting
something...
Veronica, like, saying how weird she is.
Yeah, something's going on that we're not seeing. Yeah. All right, well, hey, I think we've hit time here, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can send us an email, staff@nerd... Oh, God.
Staff at the Noid. We're coming for your pizzas.
staff@nerdoverload.com. You can tweet us a tweet @nerd_overload.
Yeah, and we are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out there. You can find over 120 episodes in the background. You can hear my phone buzzing behind me, but that's okay. They can wait. And
we have a YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right, and we're going to have some stuff over there. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.